These are, I'm sure, familiar passages that we read this morning. Adam and Eve and the serpent and temptation in the garden. Jesus in the wilderness, tempted by the devil. In fact, the gospel reading for the first Sunday in Lent is always one account or another of Jesus in the wilderness being tempted by the devil. So I suspect we've all heard sermon after sermon about this passage, about the temptations that Jesus faced, his responses to them, and what that says about who Jesus was, who God is, and what our responses to temptation are meant to be. There's a lot to be gained by considering these things, especially at this point, 5 days into our Lenten journey of repentance and renewal, self-examination, penitence, prayer, fasting, almsgiving, and reading and meditating on the Word of God. But this morning, as we gather first for worship and then fellowship and then an annual vestry meeting, where we'll hear about how we've lived out our worship over the last year and how we're called to continue our worship in and through our community in this coming year, I want to look at another part of this familiar passage. Imagine wilderness. Jesus's wilderness is a desert. A desert full of dry, rocky escarpments and ravines. Water's to be found in some places, but not many. At its lowest depth in this desert is the Dead Sea, a sea so named because its salt content is so high that it's practically devoid of life. It's a harsh wilderness. It isn't the kind of place you can live, let alone flourish. There's no one there. What's your wilderness? My friend, the Reverend Grace Delaney, is a deacon in the Diocese of Moosonee and who lives in Moose Factory on the shores of James Bay, describes her childhood concept of wilderness on the front page of this month's Anglican Journal. She likens it to her childhood experience of living on a trap line in the north. Unlike Jesus' Judean desert, Grace's wilderness was full of life. Thick forests that give life to birds, crawly insects, squirrels, and rabbits, where lakes, ponds, pools, and streams full of fresh water flow in abundance and are full of fish, where wild blueberries and cranberries grow in season. But her family was alone on this trap line, in this great wilderness. There was no one else there. What's your wilderness? Is it off in the middle of nowhere without cell phone reception, stranded, all alone? Is it being stuck in a house full of chaos where you're powerless to change anything and feel isolated and alone? Is it a particularly difficult time in your life when God seems distant or not at all responsive and you feel all alone? What is your wilderness? A common thread that weaves through Jesus' desert wilderness, Grace's trapline wilderness, and I suspect many of the wildernesses that have come to mind for each of us is being alone. We read this morning, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He was alone. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And at the end of those 40 days and 40 nights, weakened by fasting and living alone with only his thoughts and his hunger to keep him company, the tempter came. For 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus has been removed from all forms of sustenance. The sustenance of food and physical nourishment. The sustenance of community and the intense loneliness that comes with that. And he was vulnerable. He was alone and vulnerable. Today, as we gather as a church community, this is a valuable reminder. Each Sunday we gather together and then we go. The temptation may be to think that we can go it alone, that we can work out our own salvation, chart our own path, manage the wilderness by ourselves if we just give it enough time. But we can't. Study after study has shown that one of the top issues that plagues our Western society is isolation, loneliness, and it's literally making people sick and killing them. Alone, we are at our most vulnerable. Now, that's not to say that we don't ever need to be on our own. God knows I am a better person for being by myself for a time now and again. But that doesn't mean disconnected from community. Because together, we are stronger. We can encourage each other on, carry each other's burdens, walk alongside each other through the wilderness. I think that we know that intuitively as a church community. See, George's is a church community that instinctively knows that doing things together, usually with an overflowing plate of sandwiches, is how we get through life. After all, the church motto is food, friendship, faith. Food. There's those familiar words that we say each time we gather together, Jesus, at supper with his friends, took bread. This is my body broken for you. Take, eat. Friendship. The writer of the letter to the Hebrews summed it up well when they wrote, "Let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, but encouraging one another." And faith. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread, went the exchange in the desert. One doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We need them all. We need each other. So as we gather together in worship and then continue downstairs over food and friendship and faith, how are we called to continue walking together as a church community through the wilderness? How are we called to continue walking together as a parish of the valley community through the wilderness? Remembering that even when we're in the wilderness, God is there. Our Creator is always with us. Creator God never leaves us. Even Jesus in the desert of the Judean wilderness is there with the Spirit. And our Creator God is constantly calling us back into relationship, back to community, so that we might walk together, pray together, work and worship together, and flourish together. Amen.